Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This is Alistair Coburn. You're listening to Agile Uprising Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I'm your host of sorts tonight, or today, James Gifford. And tonight we're bringing you something a little different. I was in Orlando at Agile 2017 speaking. And prior to the event, I had a chance to attend the Women in Agile event. And this year's theme was Empowering the Changing Face of Agility. And during that session, it was just so powerful to meet this group of women and men coming together to talk about the changing face of Agile, as well as even getting deeper into the areas of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, often found often referred to as STEM. As a father of a six-year-old daughter, I find it so important to expose her to these types of industries and concepts so that, if she decides that when she's making her career choice that this is something cool that she wants to pursue, that it's safe and interesting and something very viable for her to pursue. Also, as a father, it's important for me to help work with the community and the people speaking out on these types of topics to create that safety and environment that she needs to be able to thrive in if she does decide to pursue these paths. We spend a lot of time while I'm doing hobbies around building microcontrollers. And, I just let her get in there and wire things up with me. And I show her what to do and kind of explain to her in six-year-old talk why we want to do that. But that's me doing my part to kind of educate her and help her build interest in some of these areas. So, I really wanted to have some really crystal clear audio and around the recording of this episode, but things just didn't work out right. We ran into some impediments with the availability of plugs in the soundboard to actually get you a crystal clear recording. So we went with plan B. So the audio is not 100% crystal clear, but we still think that it's quality enough to and worthy enough of a cause to just bring this to you as a community to help you listen to three great ladies getting their opportunity to have their first ever speaking experience as they go through some very short talks. I wouldn't necessarily say they're lightning talks, and Natalie kind of alludes to the same thing. But they are fantastic talks, and it is just a pleasure and honor to hear these women speak. So I hope you stay tuned and listen to the show and get as much value out of it as I do and start to figure out where you can pitch in this great community and helping change the, face of agility and potentially the future of your child's career opportunities in these spaces.
So as we move on to the lightning talk portion of our event, we wanted something that would support the theme of the day. And so we know that the theme is empowering the changing face of Agile. And so astronaut Abby was amazing, wasn't she?
Yes.
We want to share some of the words of wisdom that she spoke about, because I think they were so applicable for our week here in Orlando. First of all, it's our time. Great.
Yeah. Our time.
Focus on what excites you and what you're passionate about, not what you think people want. She found her voice, and then she found a community, which is what we have here. Inspire others. And then my favorite, dream big, act big, inspire others. So let's keep those in mind this week.
And I can tell she made a big impact on a lot of you because you went out and you bought the photos and you supported her, what is it, Mars mission? Mars Generation. Dang it, that wasn't that long ago, right?
If you haven't donated, you should.
So she had a big impact on you. And then now we moved into the open space, which also supports this theme. And in the open space, what I saw was, I saw a lot of passion as all of you lined up to put your stickies on the board. That made my heart very happy. And then the energy that I saw in the different open spaces. So when we wrapped up the open space, we asked you, what was something that you were going to do in the next week? Well, for this last portion, we thought, what's something we could do today? Today, how can we empower someone? How can we change the face of Agile today? And that's why we started a program called Launching New Voices.
So the inspiration here, Natalie asked that we do something that helps speakers that want to speak have a path to that speaking spot. And so when talking about how we would help highlight that path, we decided instead just to do it. So we have three new speakers today. And we paired them with a mentor. So they had time to prep for this event. We're calling them lightning talks, but let's not get into semantics. They're short talks. Okay, so they're not the typical lightning talk. We had lots of great submissions, so we had to have some pretty good criteria. One was that they had a relevant topic, right? We wanted to be able to share information in this forum. Number two, they had not yet been compensated for a talk. Including free admission to an event. And then we looked at the audience size that they had spoken to in a public forum. So I think we've got three great speakers.
We do. All right. So who do we have? We have speakers and mentors. So Joanna Valsing, did I get that right? Yes. All right. She was mentored by, oh, so just a second. She was mentored by Laura Powers. And then we have Linda Potter, mentored by Lynn Winterbower. Sarah Mary Cohn, Susan Mary Cohn, mentored by Ryan Ripley. So now we're going to move into the talks. So Laura, would you like to come up and introduce Joanna?
Hi, y'all. Welcome to Orlando. It is my great privilege and honor to introduce Joanna Valsing. She and I served on one of the review committees for Agile 2017, so I've gotten to know her a little bit and knew that she and I had some similar thought processes. And as I got to mentor her, I got to know her a little bit better. And I have to tell you, she is one awesome Agilist. She just got promoted in the last week to Senior Vice President of Program Management. So that's pretty awesome. At a company called Centro that does digital marketing services and tools based in Chicago. And she's a dog person. She has a French bulldog named Stella, and her talk is awesome, and I learned as much as I think she did. So with no further ado, Joanna.
Thanks, everyone. This is a great first experience because I realize I'm not going to be able to have my speaker notes at this particular session, so I need to be prepared for that for next time I do this. I need two computers, that's why. So first, I want to say good afternoon, and a huge thank you to Natalie Mornet and the Women in Agile Initiative, and also a really big thank you to Laura Powers, our mentor. Her feedback and advice throughout this entire process has been really instrumental. And it also feels so good to be here today. I loved hearing the positive enthusiasm that led up to the second annual Women in Agile event, and I can't wait to see how much this grows. So, moment of truth, I'm a crier. I cry at everything. If it's, whether it's movies, TV shows, commercials, cute pictures of puppies, I found myself even tearing up at Abby's story. Like, I feel things on a very personal and deep level. So as you probably imagine, I've had a love-hate relationship with feedback. It's only been recently that I've been able to hear critical feedback and not start crying right then in the moment. Years ago, when I was getting my performance review, 95% of the content was fantastic. I look back now, it was about my achievements, my contributions, the impact that I had on the company. 5% of it was where I could continue to grow and the greater impact that I could have. I didn't see it that way. That 5% became 200%. I immediately got defensive in my performance review. I started crying throughout the entire thing, making my boss feel extremely awkward. And my boss had my best intentions at heart. She delivered the feedback professionally, and I knew she was coming from a place to help me be better. But in the moment, all I felt, because that I didn't score 100% on the test, I felt like I was failing, and cue the waterworks. So once I calmed down, my logical mind started to think, why? Why do I react that way to critical feedback? And then the more I read, I realized I wasn't alone. And I started to become really fascinated with this topic of giving and receiving feedback. So have you felt this way? And you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with Agile teams? So we know that an Agile team's goal is to consistently adapt, inspect, refine, and really evolve how they're working to achieve a desired outcome. The 12th Agile principle reinforces this behavior. And what's so critical for this, for a team to work at optimum health? Giving and receiving feedback. And so in your organizations, have you ever wondered, why do some people react defensively to feedback? Why do some people take it in stride? And have you ever realized there might be a gender difference in how people react? So I started digging into it, and I came across a 2015 Harvard Business Review study. And what they found was they looked at respondents' data as they were responding to feedback. And they found that respondents had either a defensive tendency, which they call proving, or an accepting tendency, which they call improving. Very, very close to Carol Dweck's fixed versus growth mindset work, if you're familiar with that. So what they found, I want to make sure I get this down, that's why I need my notes. What they found was those who associate with the growth mindset was that they seek out challenging solutions, with a growth mindset, they're focused on improving, learning, and effort. Those with a fixed mindset really feel as though inborn talents and traits aren't something that can be changed. The former seek out challenging situations and welcome feedback, including criticism, while the latter strive to prove themselves and usually will only sign up for tasks which they know they will be successful and succeed and not receive a lot of feedback on. They also, when I looked at the data, they found that mindset was influenced by three factors: age, self-confidence, and gender. So regarding age, what they found was over an individual's life, there's a gradual progression between evolution from a proving mindset to an improving mindset. And they theorized that as we age, we simply just become more self-aware. We also grow more self-confidence, which is the second major factor that they realized. So regarding self-confidence, there's a slightly fascinating and complex relationship between self-confidence and an improving mindset. Men will start out more confident than men, and they'll improve their self-confidence up until their early 40s, experience a midlife dip, and then experience rising confidence again until their mid-50s. At that point, their confidence tends to decline. Women, on the other hand, start out less confident than men, but slowly increase their confidence from their mid-20s until their mid-60s, ending up more confident than men. And the best predictor that the Harvard Business Review could find was having an orientation toward having a proving mindset was lack of self-confidence. Those who scored highest on the confidence percentile were more shown to have an improving mindset. So this is also where imposter syndrome can come into play. Imposter syndrome is the fear that one has that they're eventually going to be found out, that they're not qualified, and that they're going to fail. And imposter syndrome has been found to be widely spread among high-achieving women. And the lower self-confidence, so this lower self-confidence that it projects, will impact one's likelihood to speak up during retros and provide that candid feedback. So back to my story, that 5% that I actually felt like I was being found out, that I was failing, I wasn't qualified to do the role that I was in. I didn't see myself as excelling 95%, I saw myself as failing, and I was gonna get fired, I had been caught. Also, keep in mind, if there's that fear of failure in the organization, and we talked a little bit about this in one of our talks earlier, imposter syndrome can be even more pronounced and erode self-confidence. I was pleased when I was reviewing the program for this week that there's a couple of sessions on imposter syndrome, as well as finding authentic voices, because that will also help. So, regarding gender, what the study found was that women are more likely to have a proving mindset, especially early in their careers. They theorized that it's because women were socialized to be less confident and men are socialized to be overconfident. And women are also subject to what's called the prove it again bias, where a woman has to supply even more evidence of their confidence than men, even to appear equally as confident. And an example of this is when a woman mentions an idea, the idea isn't heard. A man mentions the same idea. I think we've all been there, right? And all of a sudden it's heard, it's the best idea ever. In another study, 2/3 of women interviewed encountered prove again bias. And another area they saw this turn up was when seeking a promotion. If there are 9 things that are needed in order to achieve that promotion, women will wait until they have 10. To ask for that promotion. Yep. Men will ask for it when they have 6.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so what can we do, right? So what's the call to action? So please keep this in mind as we're working with our teams, because it will show up as we're observing their tendencies for the amount of candor that they have, their self-confidence to work on the feedback. So be aware of our tendencies. Encourage shifts to a growth mindset. So if you have a team member that's struggling with feedback, maybe they're in a defensive or an approving mindset, have them work with small doses and work their way up. Change your language. Growth mindset, again, remember that we're all improving. It's not fixed on inborn traits and talents. So use words like, your effort really paid off. You worked really hard on that. Not, oh, you're so smart, or your report is brilliant. And then emphasize that mistakes are learning opportunities. These are reasons to learn. Mistakes are reasons to learn, not cause for punishment or embarrassment. And my ask to you, so please keep this in mind when you're in a position to give feedback to someone and when you're in a position to receive feedback. We're all improving and growing, so thank you so much for this opportunity. Today, if you'd like more information, I am around after the workshop, here all week, and I've also included a bit.ly link where you can get all the references for this talk. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much. That was amazing. All right, so on to our next one. Next up, we have Linda Potter and Lynn Winterbauer.
Thank you. Okay, well, this is really, really a very cool event. I'm really excited to have been asked to be a part of it, and I appreciate the group who did that. So I am really looking forward to introducing to you Linda Potter, who I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know over the past few months. It has been, you know, I signed up for it and I was like, I'm so busy, what am I gonna do? And I found myself really looking forward to the times when Linda and I were gonna get on Skype and hang out together, because it was fun, it was relaxing, and I hope I was helped her a lot as well. One funny thing, I posted something on Twitter about having a mentee, working with a mentee, and I actually had people come back and wonder if I'd switched to a career in oceanography, and they thought, they kept reading it as manatee. So I will assure you, she is not a manatee. What you will come to know about her very shortly here is that she is quite an extrovert. Where's the clicker? Quite an extrovert. This was the best picture she could find of herself. I shouldn't say that. This was her favorite picture of herself that she wanted to bring to the group. So other things I learned about Linda that I really enjoyed getting to know outside of the topic that she's going to talk about were that she's quite a gamer, and she particularly likes first-person shooter games. And that probably has fewer women in that industry than there are men in this room tonight. So I admire that she does what she enjoys. She also really, really loves to read anything from classics to cults or particularly something with a series. And that was fun getting to know that because I love to read as well. So here I'd like to introduce to you Linda Potter, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about herself and her role.
Hello. So, thank you very much, Lynn. I really appreciated working with you and learning from you and learning to get ready for this experience. So, my name is Linda Potter. I'm a Scrum Master at Highland Software, and I'm going to be talking to you today a little bit about innovation. We're always telling our dev teams that they should be innovating, but sometimes we forget that as Scrum Masters, it's important to innovate as well. So I'd like you to leave today feeling empowered to innovate and maybe take away a couple ideas on how you might be able to do that. So a little bit more about me. I actually started as a tester on a Scrum team. Yeah, a couple testers in the house. And then I became a full-time Scrum Master at Highland Software. So I've noticed that being a tester has actually influenced a lot how I think as a Scrum Master. As testers, we're asked to think differently. We're asked to dig really deep into issues and find, you know, innovative solutions to what's been going on in the software. And when my teams come to me with issues that they're coming up against, I can't just look away. I end up putting on that tester hat and digging deep and finding hopefully innovative solutions to their problems. So, but what does innovation mean to me? For me, it's not the brand new, most important idea that I've got in my head. A lot of times it's what's out there on the community. Many people in our community have come up against the issues that I'm facing now with my teams, and I can use their knowledge and their innovative ideas and maybe tweak it a little bit to work with my teams. What I did first was to actually find a mentor, and I have a great agility enablement group at my company, Highland, and I went to who was then the Scrum Master of the team that I was on, Jeremy Willits, and I asked him to take pity on me, and he took me under his wing, and the first thing that he did was to tell me to go and find a couple of resources online. He gave me some great books to read, and if you're interested in any of these, there is an addendum to this slide deck, so you can get that from me afterwards. But these resources online, they're available to all of us. And again, people in our community have these innovative ideas, and we can go and leverage that. So in doing this research, I actually came upon one of my first opportunities to innovate with my teams. So the team that I was on as a tester, I became their Scrum Master, and they were actually a very, very large team. They're about 20 people large. And, you know, as a Scrum Master for a team, it's not really our responsibility to fix the team size, but I noticed that it was causing a lot of issues. And I went to Jeremy, my mentor, and talked to him about it. And he had just come back from Agile 2016, and he had seen Sandy Mamoli and David Mullis talk about self-selecting teams. And so I talked to him about how we might work that into the issue that this team was having about being so large. We put together a proof of concept with a couple of people from this large team. We were able to deliver some features to a customer with a few people from the team on time. Whoa. And successfully. And armed with that knowledge, we went to leadership, and they allowed us to facilitate a self-selection process, and the team self-organized into two smaller, much more agile teams. And I thought a really interesting quote from their book, Creating Great Teams, was that we could think of a plethora of reasons why we had a crazy idea, but the key to overcoming our fears was to challenge ourselves with powerful questions. What if we weren't afraid? What if this actually worked, and what's the worst that could happen? And I think that it's important to remind ourselves of questions like these when we're trying something new. So the next thing that I came up against was that my product owner actually needed to prioritize his backlog. And if any of us have come up against an issue like this, a lot of times prioritization is just who yells the loudest, right? But he actually had to prioritize his backlog with as much input as he needed to in quite some time. And he wanted to get together a lot of people from throughout the company. It was about 30 people on his list. And we usually use a weighted shortest job first, or a WSJF exercise. And that was going to be very difficult with that many people. And a coworker had actually just come back from Don McGreal's product owner training and was introduced to a 35 exercise, which is another method of prioritization. So I combined the WSJF exercise with the 35 exercise, and I was able to kind of pair off people, and it turned into a little bit of a prioritization dance party. And so it was really fun, and I actually was grateful in that a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said that they had never been able to be a part of a regular prioritization exercise before and learn that much about a product, as well as have so many one-on-one conversations with as many different people from across the company. So again, try something new and you might be surprised. So later, a team that I was working with was developing on the iOS platform and had to change to developing on the Android platform while still maintaining their old one. They were concerned about how they might be able to do that, and I had just finished reading about mob programming by Woody School. And so I talked to them about using mob programming as a learning opportunity. What they actually did was use it not just for learning, but they actually began mobbing to produce code. And once they began mobbing to produce code, they were able to produce the same amount of features in 3 days that would have taken them 6 weeks. And it the quality was much higher because QA was involved much earlier in the process. And a really powerful quote from this book, Mob Programming, is that an interesting side effect is that we're all learning to become better students and teachers, better at asking and answering questions. So not only did this affect their learning process, but it affected how they interacted as a team in, for instance, their daily scrum and their retrospectives. They began communicating better with each other. So what I'd like you guys to remember is to expand your responsibilities outside of just facilitating scrum events if you're a scrum master, and to innovate using not just your own ideas, but those from a mentor, if you have one, or from our Agile community. And lastly, if you're interested in continuing conversations like these about innovation or about Scrum Mastership, please stand up. All right, so now, wow, awesome. Now everybody can see who each other are, and there are open spaces at the conference coming up all next week, and you guys can hopefully connect during those. And it's important to continuously innovate.
Good job. Good job, Linda. And thank all of you for continuing to welcome our new voices. So who we have now is Susan Mary Cohn as the speaker, and Ryan Ripley. Would you like to introduce Susan?
Yeah, I would love to introduce Susan. I just want to say real quickly, I'm grateful for this opportunity to introduce Susan for a couple of reasons. First of all, my speaking career started because of a young lady named Diane Zajac. Do we know Diane? was, I would not be a speaker today without Diane. She has picked me off of the floor when I bombed a talk, and she actually taught me how to put together a talk and to become a speaker. So I'm grateful to her, and I'm grateful to Natalie and her team because she's created this opportunity for me to pay this forward. And so this opportunity involved me meeting Susan, and Susan is wonderful. She is detailed, analytical, brilliant, and did not need much mentoring. All of you are ready to be speakers, including Susan. The only thing I asked Susan to do was to tell her story and to bring her authentic self forward, and it's a wonderful story. So I'm going to stop speaking because I can speak forever. I'm going to introduce Susan. She's wonderful. I can't wait to hear this. And just thank you to everyone for the opportunity. And Susan, thank you for letting me have some influence over what you're about to do. So thank you.
So has this been a terrific afternoon or what? It certainly has. And I will tell you that hearing all the discussions this afternoon, hearing the talks that we've just heard, it just totally reinforces what I have known all along, which is that women are magic for Agile. Women contribute to so many better outcomes, not just for women, but for everyone. For the business, for everyone. But I think that the reverse is also true. I think that Agile is magic for women as well. And I know this because the arc of my own personal career journey was completely galvanized by Agile. I started my career as a manager in a typical command and control organization. Does this look familiar to anyone here? Feel free to scream in pain if you want. Typical command and control organization, and I loved my work, but I absolutely hated the negativity, the individual competitiveness, the ridiculous hierarchies, and I was not alone in this, because there's some research out there which indicates that women in some of these command and control environments hold back. We hold back in meetings. We participate 3 times less often than men. That women avoid individual competition. In fact, they participate in these individual invitations to compete 3 times less often than men. That's a very big number. And as a result, women twice as often select careers that are considered to be more supportive or less competitive. And that's exactly what I did. I was on the management track, but I backed off it and I went, air quotes, back down to supporting roles in communication and training, analysis, etc. And I loved those jobs, but I always kind of wanted to do more. And then I had the tremendous good fortune to become part of an Agile team. And what I experienced in my first role on an Agile team was nothing short of life-changing. First, facilitated meetings with valued Scrum Masters that knew how to pull out every voice on that team. The men, the women, everybody pulled their voice, was pulled out and valued and respected, totally unlike what I had found as a manager. I found empowered teams, working as a team, accountable as a team for our result, not as an individual, but as a team. I found collaboration. There's a joy that comes with collaboration that nothing else can match. And when you can reach as a team a business goal, there's enough pride and joy to go around for everybody. And I also found an emphasis on sustainable pace, which to my mind as a woman, that translates into work-life balance. And how important is that, right? So at least Agile gives you a ground to stand on. You say, look, we're an Agile team. Sustainable pace is one of our principles. So let's try to live up to it. And here again, I was not alone. Because greater empowerment through the Agile mindset helps to close that gender gap.
Because research will suggest that when there are properly facilitated meetings, that gender gap goes away. Women participate fully. And when they can compete as a team, as opposed to as an individual, 45% more women will take part. They will take the gauntlet. They will take the challenge. Okay? And so what that did for me was, in addition to the joy that it brought back to me for my career, was it enabled me to see a whole new vital career path. So that from my role as a team member, I felt excited and I felt confident to move on into other roles, particularly as a product owner, and eventually as an Agile coach, eventually as an enterprise Agile coach, and then finally coming full circle on that arc back to the role of an Agile manager and also a leader in my organization. And yes, that means I can actually help to remove impediments. So right there, totally worth it. And as a coach, and especially as a manager, I've observed some very interesting new phenomena that are really starting to become a reality in our world as the community of Agilists. First, what I call Agile Ivy. As Agile development succeeds, the whole business has to adapt to it. Right? Have you experienced this in your own work? You know, I see hands going up. Yes, because the portfolio planning has to adapt, right? And well, if we're changing the way we plan our projects, then the budgeting has to adapt. You have to start to move beyond typical project-based budgeting. And then people and staffing, that has to be very, very much altered in terms of an agile approach. Operations, marketing. And I've also seen another very interesting effect. The grass is greener. And this happened to me many times in my career when other managers would look over the fence and they say, wow, your team is so productive. They're engaged. They're happy. How did you get that to happen? And I said, well, we're an Agile team. Okay, and it's Agile that did it. I only did it because I was a servant leader to the Agile principles and to making that Agile team come alive. But as other managers see the success of Agile, and little by little, all that resistance that you feel in your transformation, it begins to subside because they want a piece of that pie. So don't underestimate it when they look over that fence. Put our best foot forward. And also, there is now a very genuine domain of thought leadership that is emerging, and it's around the idea of business agility. In fact, there's a business agility lab at the conference next week. And businesses have come to make a genuine recognition that in order to deal with our changing times, the challenging markets, what we call a volatile world, that they have to begin to address their decisions in an agile way, with not just agility in the development teams, but business agility. Because those of us that have worked on development teams, we know that until your whole organization is agile, you're not fully agile. So it's clear, Agile is taking root outside of IT. And just think about what that means for women. Just think of the vast potential for empowerment for all those women on all those teams outside of IT. It's huge, and a lot of those women could be, you know, like I am, in positions in their organization where they can affect genuine change. But why stop there? Agile hasn't stopped there. Agile is actually beginning to make inroads outside of IT, outside of the business, into our everyday life. And in a way, I find this one the most exciting. Am I the only one who has yellow stickers all over my house? Please say no. Okay. People are using Agile methods for household management. And then since it works so good at home, you know what, let's try it outside. Let's try it maybe at church or the PTA. And Agile is even taking root in schools, particularly in Europe. There are schools that are using Scrum and Kanban. And at the Lean Kanban group that I founded, the first requested topic, you know what it was? Kanban for kids. Cool. Just think about that for a minute. Kanban for kids. Imagine a whole generation of young people developing an Agile mindset as children. And bringing that Agile mindset and the respect and the practices to their work life, to their community life. Imagine the Agile mindset taking root outside of IT and outside of the business into our society.
the vast empowerment that could take place. And it's time that we imagine it, because we are at the threshold of it. And we are the ones who hold that power right in the palm of our hands in order to lead. And that's the takeaway that I would like you to realize as you work on your conference next week or in your own work, whether it's splitting stories or coaching product owners, whatever it is, please remember that Agile offers these fabulous tools for great empowerment for other women, for our teams, for our organizations, for our families and communities, and ultimately, our world. Thank you.
That was great.
All right, can I have the three speakers stand up for just a moment, please? Congratulations, you can now say, I've spoken at a national Agile conference.
Yay!
And y'all knocked it out. Thank you. Okay, can we have the three mentors stand up, please? Lucas said to her, I will be your astronaut, right? Who wants to join these guys and be mentors? Stand up if you want to mention this. Yeah. All these folks that are available to help, if you are interested in speaking, grab one of these guys and ask them for that help. Thank you, guys.
Are we going to post anything in Slack?
We did post something in Slack.
All right. All right, good. I haven't looked, but basically, yeah. So she's looking at me like I've looked at Slack. I've been listening to the speakers. But basically, you guys saw the power of pairing a mentor with someone that has passion and ability. So we want to continue that in the Slack channel, because I heard a lot of that in the open space. So you just saw the power in it. Let's keep it going. So thank you.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.